Welcome to the Cool Tools Show. I'm Mark Frauenfelder, Editor-in-Chief of Cool Tools, a website of tool recommendations written by our readers. You can find us at cool-tools.org. I'm joined by my co-host, Kevin Kelly, founder of Cool Tools. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, it's great to be here.
In each episode of the Cool Tools Show, Kevin and I talk to a guest about some of his or her favorite uncommon and uncommonly good tools they think others should know about. Our guest this week is Om Malik. Om is a partner at the early stage venture firm Crew Ventures. Prior to becoming an investor, he started GigaOm, a technology blog and covered technology and its impact for over two decades. Om loves technology, its possibilities, and writes about its impact on his blog, om.co. Hi, Om. How are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm well. Thank you.
Hey, nice to see you again. Even though we can't see each other, it's nice to be present.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, how are you doing?
I have your photograph up on my screen, so I'm seeing you.
Cool. Yeah, I have a little icon of you as well, Om, so it's really great. I don't think we've ever met in person, so this is just a great opportunity to be able to chat. And so you have some interesting tools for us, and we'll just jump right into it and tell us about a fountain pen that you are a fan of.
So I use a fountain pen and a notebook to write most of my thoughts, notes from interviews, whenever I meet companies. And the reason I do that, I find the process slows me down a little, makes me think. And I like the way the fountain pen's nib makes the noise when it, you know, moves across paper. I feel a tactile connection with the words which are coming, you know, into my ears, into my brain, and then out into this piece of paper. The pen I use, it's a Taiwanese-made pen, and it's a company is called Twisby. I don't ask me what it stands for. It's Twisby Diamond 580 fountain pen. It is a piston filler. A piston filler is a way of filling ink into the fountain pen. And the reason I use it is because it's actually really well-made fountain pen. It has a steel nib, so if you put too much, you know, pressure on it, it doesn't bend as easily. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, it's a very well-made, high-quality pen. I have used it for close to 2.5 years, and I have never had a problem with it. And I just feel, you know, for $65, $70, something this elegant and this beautiful and this exciting is worth the price. It is a demonstrator pen. In a sense, it's transparent, so you can actually see the ink. And so you know, the ink sloshing around in the container makes the whole feeling more organic. The pen becomes almost a living thing. And that's what I love about it.
That's cool. It's a very beautiful pen, I have to say. I'm looking at the picture right now.
Is it made out of plastic, acrylic, or glass, or what's it made out of?
It's some kind of plastic, but pretty high-strength plastic, I think. Mm.
And do you have issues with it leaking, particularly if you're flying on an airplane?
So when I fly, I don't really use it. When I'm flying, I end up taking a gel point pen, like a pilot pen or something like that. Unfortunately, I'm known to lose pens pretty often. So it's like, even though it's only $60, $70, it still is enough money for me to not run the risk of losing a pen.
So you kind of don't travel with it. You just mostly use it in your office or keep it in your bag, or how does that work?
It's always in my bag. And I have one at home, one in my office, and one in my bag.
Is there a particular notebook that you like to use with it?
I like to use any notebook which is friendly to fountain pen ink and pens. The one I am currently using is a Nanami paper, a notebook. It's the standard A5 size Tomahawk paper, which is from Japan. Is super thin, but it's very, you know, it the ink doesn't leak onto the other side when you use that paper.
And how about ink? What kind of ink do you like?
I use ink made by Pilot. Pilot Iro Shizuko. Shizuki or Shizuko. I don't know how to pronounce it, but Pilot makes great inks. I have a blue and violet colored inks, which I use.
Very nice. And do you, which one do you prefer, the blue or the violet?
Violet, because, you know, it's lavender is my favorite color. Uh-huh. Blue is for like signing checks and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you write in lavender ink normally?
Yeah. Inspired by Winston Churchill.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He was a lavender ink user.
Yeah. But you would not guess from his, you know, personality, right?
Yeah, exactly. I thought he might use gin as a...
maybe lavender gin. Who knows?
That's very cool.
Okay. So tell us about another favorite tool of yours.
My other favorite tool is the Muji Organic Cotton Mixed Pile Sneaker In Socks. These are socks made for wearing with sneakers. And I have tried many different versions of these, socks which come up to your ankles. And they are basically made for people who wear sneakers. However, I like to wear, proper Italian-made leather shoes, but I don't like wearing long socks. So I ended up wearing sneaker socks. I want to show some of my ankle and my, it's like, it's kind of like, I feel like I'm a little bit Italian. So. Not really, but I just like the way they look and I just love the quality of Muji. So I would say I have washed these socks about 50 times and they still are exactly the same the day I bought them. And for a $5 pair of socks, I have never met any product that good, which is like it's 50 washes. Even the best socks lose shape. They lose the shine. They become dull. They stretch. But these are just perfect. Like the elastic is great. The fabric is softened a little bit, but there are still no holes in those socks. I mean, it just is like, I just wonder, it's like how they have done it. There must be some kind of magic there.
So nice. We're headed to the Muji store actually this weekend here in Los Angeles. They have a really big one. And so I'm going to pick up some.
Yeah, pick up the navy blue mm-hmm. or the black one, so that way at least, you will see the quality, on your own.
That sounds good.
Well, that's a great recommendation. It says here that the material, I guess, is organic, 89% organic cotton, and then 10% polyester and 1% spandex. Maybe that's the secret ingredient.
That's right.
Yeah, to help keep its shape.
Yeah. But like, I don't sweat in them. They don't. Like they're not out of shape. Like I cannot believe how impressed I am with the quality of these socks.
Okay, that's great. So on to a third high quality favorite tool of yours. Tell us about this one.
So Dispatch is a local San Francisco store, and I love cameras as you might have noticed. I take a lot of photographs, and I constantly kept changing cameras, and I needed an easy way to find a camera strap which I could just replace, and like remove from one camera and put on the other without having to mess about. And the guys from Dispatch made this great system in which you basically buy a strap and number, depending on the number of cameras you have, you get ties for those cameras, and the strap just plugs into that tie. And when you want to use a different camera, you take off the strap and put it onto the other camera, which has the same camera tie. And it's just a braided nylon Cordura kind of material. It's very strong, and the tie and the plug are also super well designed and extremely strong. And I have a very heavy camera, and there has never been an issue to use that. But it also is handmade. It's made in San Francisco. It's almost like a knit kind of a braid, and it's just so beautiful and so elegant. And I also like things which are handmade. I guess it's like about $120 or so for the kit, and I just felt like it was worth the price.
And what is the I can kind of visualize the braided strap, but those ties, this sort of system where you can kind of plug and unplug it with different cameras. How big is that, and what does that consist of?
So there is think of it as like how you have like an electric socket, and mm-hmm. then you put a plug into it. Think mm-hmm. of the tie as the socket, and the camera strap is the ends as a plug. So you plug into the so-called socket, and the socket is attached to the camera's eyelet. Mm-hmm. Using a very strong nylon thread, I guess, mm-hmm. or nylon string. But it's like it's super strong, and it's able to withstand. I mean, I have an SL, and the lens, if you add it all up, it's about roughly 7 pounds in total, and like it doesn't even bat an eyelid.
So Om, it looks like it's made of like paracord.
Yeah, paracord.
Okay, paracord.
It's some variation of nylon mm-hmm. and cordura, right? Like
right.
It's not cotton, or it's not leather.
Yeah. It has a nice, like you said, kind of a handmade look to it.
Yeah.
Really attractive.
Is it adjustable, or do you just have a fixed length?
That is the one bad thing about it. It's like fixed length.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a little bit longer for me, given that I'm a short-sized person. So it's a little bit longer. I wish it was shorter, but I think everything else makes up for it.
I guess if they're handmade, they could make you one that was shorter.
Yeah, I've been bugging the owner of the store to do that. Maybe this podcast will influence him kind of thing.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. So, and then tell us about another one of your favorite tools.
So I like this brand of deodorant sticks called Corpus. It's a natural deodorant. It doesn't have any artificial ingredients. And the reason I know about them, to be honest, is because the company was founded by the founder of another brand which I like called Baxter. Baxter of California makes men's products, shaving creams and beard oil and stuff like that, and he sold the company, I don't know to whom, some big brand in Europe, and then left, and then he started this new company called Corpus. And just out of through a friend of mine who runs a blog called Acquire Mag, which is essentially all about, men's fashion and gadgets and stuff like that. He mentioned Corpus, and I found their deodorant sticks, and I found them just way better than the Baxter products. The Baxter products have a slightly alcoholic feel to them, and like you can feel like there is something artificial about it, whereas these ones just feel so much more natural, they're like almost invisible. And the scent on the deodorant sticks is pretty low key and pretty muted. And I just like it for that reason. Now I've been using it for about 6 months, and no allergic reactions none of that stuff. And I just feel, you know, if we use less artificial things in our life, the better we are. I mean, there is no, you know, logical reason to use one deodorant stick versus the other, except personal choice. For me, you know, this one just kind of clicked with me. And I would recommend that people should try their product because it's such a high quality product.
Do you recommend that they purchase it online? Is that like the main place to get it from their own website?
Yeah, that's the only place where you can get it.
Okay. Okay. And how much does it cost for that?
It costs $22 plus whatever the shipping and taxes.
How long does it last?
You know, if you use like, you know, I use it twice a day, mm-hmm. so about 3 months.
Oh, that's a long time.
Yeah.
So I know that you're really into camera culture, photographs, photography, and I'm just curious, and this is not on your list, but what do you use for displaying images in, you know, where you live? Or are you into like digital frames, or do you print stuff out, or are you just, you know, relying on your phone?
So I love the iPad as a display. I think it's the best way to consume photos. But at home, I have an Aura display, A-U-R-A.
Which A-U-R-A, is a, okay. Yeah.
And it was, the company sent me one for review. So it's not, I didn't pay for it. And I have to admit, I was pleasantly surprised by how good it is to share. Like, I just kind of take photos on my phone and just, you know, put them into the Aura app and they show up on this screen. And sometimes at night when I'm like getting a drink of water, you know, and like I see this photo of some friend or my goddaughter, it brings a little smile to me. So I kind of like that device, but, you know, I'm sure there's other frames I haven't really even tried. So I can't say I will recommend one over the other, but I do like the idea of a frame, a connected frame.
Hey, I've been looking for a good one, which, as you said, you may not be able to recommend it, but I'm curious, the one that you are using, does it switch orientations easily? I mean, that's one of the issues I found is they kind of go either landscape or portrait, and there are a few that are square that can kind of do both.
Yes, it can. It does. It's a company started by former Twitter people. Do you remember a company called Samize, which was essentially became Google Search? Sorry, Twitter Search.
No.
Those people left to start this company. And it's actually pretty intelligent. Like you can change orientation, you know, it automatically, you know, resizes the photos to fit the orientation. There's a lot of intelligence built into the system. If the room is very dark, you know, and it's late at night, it automatically dims and goes to sleep. There's a lot of smarts in this product. So I wouldn't say, you know, again, I have not tried other products, so I can't really say how good or how bad it is. So, but from my own experience, I have no reason to be dissatisfied with it.
Sure, sure. So tell us about what you're working on these days and what you're thinking about.
So I'm currently working on a book called Third Eye, which is a book about camera culture. And the idea is how iPhone and Instagram have normalized the idea of cameras everywhere. And what is the social impact of cameras everywhere? And I'm writing this book for Harper Business. And it's essentially the way I'm writing it. It's a narrative essays which delve into various aspects of the camera culture. Everything from the birth of the camera phone all the way to the Kardashians and into the future, what AR might look like because of this, you know, omnipresent third eye called the camera. And so that's what I'm working on. I didn't realize how difficult it is to write a book. You know, not everyone is Kevin Kelly. So,
yeah.
And so it's been essentially that, like, I do my day job and then come home and essentially 7-8 hours of writing the book. And it's been very, very intense, but very satisfying.
And you obviously carry a camera, like a real picture-only machine, because you have the strap. But I presume also that you are that you use the iPhone for photographs a lot. Can you imagine a time when you only carry a phone and don't carry a camera?
The reason I'm a photographer is because of the iPhone. So from the birth of the iPhone till 2015, I exclusively shot on iPhone. I got a real camera, real as in standalone camera, in 2015 at the, urging of a friend who's a photographer, who felt that I was ready to, take a more artistic leap into creating photos. And he's a well-known photographer called Vincent Laforet. And so he knows a thing or two about photography. So when he said, you should do it, I said, okay, I'll do it. And that was the reason I got a camera. But I still exclusively shoot everyday scenes, day-to-day landscapes or cityscapes with my iPhone. I have a Leica SL, which is my main camera, for doing my fine art photography, which is not as often as it should be, but that's the camera I use for that. Then I have an old Leica film camera, which I use to occasionally go to the beach and take photos and kind of make abstract photos in black and white. I used to have a black and white digital camera, and I never really felt close to it. I felt that the film, black and white film, is the way to go. So those are my three cameras. If you were to ask me, about 70% of my photos are made with my iPhone.
Do you edit on your phone as well?
Yeah, I use
process.
I exclusively edit on the iPhone, and very rarely I would go into at home. I would use Photoshop for my fine art stuff.
And what app do you use for editing or processing your images on your phone?
So on my phone, I use Darkroom, which is for photo editing, processing. For taking photos, I use, I don't know how to pronounce the name, Halide, H-A-L-I-D-E app. It makes me take manual photos in raw format, so it allows me to edit it more effectively. And on my iPad, I use Darkroom or Lightroom, one of the two.
Is Darkroom and Lightroom, are those Adobe products?
No, Darkroom is an independent product, mm-hmm. and in my mind, probably the single best app for processing photos right now.
For on the iPad, you mean, or the phone?
Both on iPad or on the phone. The reason I like it, because it has curves, and anyone who takes photos knows that curves allow you to add contrast, mm-hmm. and like really fine tune how the photo looks in the end. And they have nailed it, and they've made it so simple and so easy. It's like, plus I also like supporting a two-man company. Why not?
I mean, Lightroom has curves too.
Yeah, but Lightroom has like hundreds of people working on that. I mean, come on, Kevin. You know how it is to support a one-man band.
Yeah. What happens is one masters a app, and you're very reluctant to leave it. You're kind of the last person to leave after everyone else has already flown. You're still using it because you know it.
Yeah, I love Darkroom, and I know they're actively working on it. I use Lightroom for on my iPad, but at home when I'm editing my really black and white long exposures and stuff like that, I'm using Photoshop. I can't do anything without Photoshop.
Right, there you go. And that's more than one person making Photoshop.
Yeah. But like, you know, the iPhone is like so intimate and so immediate. And like, you want to take a photo and share it. So what you don't want is to get bogged down by an editing software, which is so heavy duty that it takes away from the moment itself. And I think that's why I like using Darkroom, is that, yes, it has the same high-end capabilities, but it's still super easy to get it done in like a minute or two.
Well, this is really great. I look forward to your book, which will, you say it's Harper Business. So that's the third eye, I think you're calling it.
That's right.
We look forward to that. We really appreciate having you on and sharing with us your expert finds, stuff I didn't know about.
Thanks so much, Om. I really appreciate it. And we'll give links to your Instagram account so people can check out your photos.
Besides your Instagram, is there anywhere else where you want people to come check you out? Do you have, I think you're .om, right? Or somewhere?
No. Om.co.
Oh, Om.co. Okay, right.
Yeah. I found the smallest domain name I could for my blog.
Yeah, that's really good.
Right. Four letters. That's hard to beat.
It's too bad you couldn't find Om.mo. Do they not have that?
It's like om.co is fine. Also, you know, the tagline is like on my own. That's my blog. Mm-hmm. It's called On My Own now, because after GigaOm, it's just me now. It's like alone. So.
Yeah, that's good.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. And
yeah,
you know, I respect, you know, you guys so much. And I enjoy the newsletter, which comes, you know, religiously in my inbox every weekend, and I can't wait to open it. So
that's so cool to hear.